L3's Smart Deck is STC'd for the Cirrus SR-22. NASA says the Phoenix Mars lander is on course and on schedule for its Sunday landing. And the airlines are back on the attack against general aviation. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, May 23, 2008. L3 Communications Avionics Systems announced on Thursday it has received technical standard order authorization and supplemental type certification from the FAA for the SmartDeck Integrated Flight Controls and Display System. The STC has been awarded for the Cirrus Design SR-22G2, and L3 Avionics will offer the STC through authorized dealers for retrofit. In a departure from some other glass panels, SmartDeck is designed with a menu structure which supports pilot functions in 3 clicks or less. L3 President Adrian Stevens says, quote, "It makes flying safer, easier, and more fun. When pilots fly the system for the first time, we receive overwhelmingly positive feedback about the crisp graphics and overall ease of use. The best way for someone to compare SmartDeck to other systems is to fly it. It speaks for itself," unquote. SmartDeck is also the only system in the light aircraft market to include a display dedicated to flight plan management and communication information as part of its standard configuration. The center console unit is a 4x5.25-inch display that frees up space on the multifunction display and enables pilots to continue monitoring a flight while obtaining airport or flight plan information. The company adds that SmartDeck is scalable and is being customized for inclusion as standard equipment in Cirrus Design's forthcoming jet. NASA says its Phoenix spacecraft is on track for its destination in the Martian Arctic on schedule Sunday. Barry Goldstein, Phoenix project manager at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, provided the update. Quote, "The latest calculation from our navigation team shows the center of the area where we're currently headed lies less than 8 miles from the center of our target area. We may decide on Saturday that we don't need to use our final opportunity for fine-tuning the trajectory that Phoenix is on. Either way, we will continue to monitor the trajectory throughout Saturday night on the off chance we need to execute our contingency maneuver 8 hours before entry," unquote. All spacecraft systems are reported nominal and stable. Shortly after the Indy 500 ends here on Sunday on Earth, Phoenix will be approaching Mars at over 12,000 miles an hour. In the following 7 minutes, it must use atmospheric friction, retro rockets, and a parachute to slow and position itself for a three-legged touchdown. The intended landing site is farther north on Mars than any previous mission, and expected to have ice-rich permafrost beneath the surface, but within reach of the lander's robotic arm. The next round in the fight over U.S. general aviation user fees could be as much as a year away, but the Air Transport Association has renewed its campaign on behalf of the airlines to convince news organizations nationwide that small aircraft, especially business jets, are responsible for causing delays for airline passengers and increasing their travel costs. Quote, "Just 2 weeks ago, Big Brown galloped past his competitors and easily won the Kentucky Derby. Many of us watched the Winner's Circle celebrations on television, while others flew on luxurious private jets to watch in person. Did you know that airline passengers were subsidizing these posh trips to the race?" Unquote. The email goes on to recite common ATA arguments for general aviation user fees and suggests that most of the jets in the skies over Louisville on Derby weekend were private aircraft. Ed Bolin, president of the National Business Aviation Association, called the argument laughable. Quote, "The fact is, delays are caused by the airlines overscheduling flights 365 days a year at big city airports all across the country. It's also disingenuous for the airlines to suggest that general aviation won't contribute to aviation system modernization when the GA community supports legislation that contains a 65% fuel tax increase on GA to help fund the Federal Aviation Administration and transform the aviation system," unquote. Wednesday was a day for Southwest Airlines executives, managers, shareholders, and employees to reflect back on the 38-year career of founder Herb Kelleher. Fortunately, there was no bad news to ruin the party. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram reports that incoming Chairman Gary Kelly, in his State of the Airline address at the airline's annual meeting in Dallas, said that while marginal flights will be trimmed, quote, "We have no plans at present to close any operations at any of the cities we serve," unquote. Kelly also told shareholders that Southwest's run of 68 consecutive profitable quarters will not end anytime soon. The contrast to crosstown rival American Airlines could not have been more stark. At American's meeting in Fort Worth, The news was 12% of capacity to be cut, thousands of employees to be furloughed, and passengers to be charged an extra fee for every checked bag, even the first one, starting June 15th. Kelleher's name even came up at Americans meeting, where American CEO Gerard Arpey recalled the battle over turning back legal restrictions in the federal Wright Amendment, which limits Southwest's growth at Dallas Love Field. Arpey recalled, quote, "When I crossed swords with him, I felt like I was in a gunfight and all I had was a knife. I'm proud to call him a friend and I wish him the very best," unquote. If you wanted to be among cheerful company, Southwest's meeting was definitely the better place to be. The Star-Telegram reports that when the meeting ended and Kelleher had passed his wooden gavel to Kelly, dozens of Southwest pilots and flight attendants stood in a long line to say goodbye. Dana Sechting, a 25-year-old flight attendant born 12 years after Kelleher started the company, asked, with tears in her eyes, "Can I hug you?" Kelleher agreed, and after getting her hug, Sechting said, quote, "I love him. He really built the company the right way," unquote. Up next on ANN, the U.S. military opens East Coast Airways to holiday weekend airline traffic. FAA says its new adaptive compression software is helping airlines and their passengers. And Spectrum Aeronautical selects Honeywell Avionics for the Freedom S40. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 23rd, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters announced on Thursday that military airspace off the East Coast will again be made available to commercial aircraft to accommodate holiday traffic over the Memorial Day weekend. Peters says the Department of Defense is making four routes available from 6 p.m. Eastern Time this evening through 7 a.m. on Tuesday. The temporary routing through military airspace is one of several measures announced since last summer by DOT to ease traffic during peak periods. Others include caps and slot auctions at the major New York area airports and new software which would allow quickly reassigning landing slots when flights are canceled. That software is called adaptive compression, and the FAA began implementation in March of 2007 to save airlines money and passengers time. Now, the agency is reporting the system saved the airlines $27 million and saved passengers a total of 1.1 million delay minutes in its first year. Adaptive compression works by scanning for airport arrival slots that would otherwise go to waste when a flight is canceled, delayed, or rerouted. Open slots are filled with the next available flight, minimizing passenger delays by maximizing operations at constrained airports. Naturally, it only helps when some flights have already been canceled, diverted, or delayed, but the software has the potential to be very helpful in the summer when thunderstorms require flights to be rerouted on short notice. Adaptive compression was developed in collaboration with the airlines and automatically notifies controllers of open slots and the next available flights, which frees them up from the need to perform those functions manually. Honeywell's latest avionics suite has been announced as standard equipment by two more aircraft manufacturers this week alone. On Wednesday, Spectrum Aeronautical said it has selected the Primus Apex for its new Freedom S40 mid-sized business jet. Spectrum's president, Austin Blue, says the system supports the Freedom's extraordinary capabilities. Quote, "We feel Honeywell's Primus Apex platform provides a combination of best-in-class features and rock-solid reliability that offer the flexibility our customers are looking for," unquote. The Primus Apex configuration for the Freedom features four screens, 15-inch primary flight displays at the crew stations, and two 10.4-inch multifunction displays. All of them use ultra-high-resolution graphics and multiple redundancies for enhanced reliability. Blue added that Primus Apex offers features typically found on business jets that cost millions more to purchase. Quote, "We're confident that it will assure Freedom pilots easier flight tech operation and improved overall safety," unquote. The Primus Apex was also selected by Pilatus for the PC-12NG. As ANN reported Saturday, the system will also be standard on Viking Air's reintroduced DHC-6 Series 400 Twin Otters and on Grob's upcoming SPN. U.S. military officials have enjoyed decades of space superiority, but rapid advances by China's space program are making them uneasy. Army Brigadier General Jeffrey C. Horn, deputy commander of the Joint Functional Component Command for Space, told the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission Wednesday that China has made incredible advances in space, but the United States is uncertain what the Chinese ultimately hope to accomplish. The general noted Chinese military doctrine emphasizes destroying, damaging, and interfering with an enemy's reconnaissance, observation, and communications capabilities, making last year's test by China of an anti-satellite weapon a particularly disturbing development. Horn says the Chinese, quote, are moving aggressively to assure their own capability for the long term, focused on placing more sophisticated and diverse sets of satellites into orbit, and expecting to replace foreign-produced satellites in its inventory with those they produce themselves by 2010, unquote. China plans to launch 15 rockets and 17 satellites in 2008, and the nation has announced plans for its third manned mission, Shenzhou 7, in October. Horn's organization is part of the U.S. Strategic Command. Still ahead, computer users may have an easier time in security lines soon. An Australian company has a sensor that detects ice formation. And Boeing's unmanned rotorcraft sets an unofficial endurance record. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, May 23rd, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. When you hear these Aerocasts originate from events like Oshkosh, that means I've had to get my notebook computer and recording equipment through a TSA security line at least once. I've never understood how a gym bag full of microphone cables goes through the scanner without a blink, yet we all have to take our computers out of their carrying cases before we put them on the belt. With the possible exception of having to remove your shoes, it's one of the bigger hassles in getting through the line, even if the screener doesn't drop your computer. Well, there's good news. Being the nimble, client-focused organization it is, the Transportation Security Administration is finally working with manufacturers of computer bags to evaluate designs which could be opened and laid flat on the conveyor belt, allowing an unobscured X-ray view of the computer. According to a report in USA Today, manufacturers including Targus and Scuba Design have submitted 52 written proposals for case designs that would be checkpoint-friendly. The new cases could be ready for evaluation by the end of the summer. There's also bad news, however. Because the TSA will not actually certify the designs, there will almost certainly be people ahead of you who are confused and try to leave their computers zipped up in cases that don't work with the scanners. That means the lines could get slower than ever for a while. And of course, if you're like me and have been using the empty computer bag as a catch-all for keys, wallet, spare change, wristwatch, and belt to avoid losing them on your way through the line, you're going to have to find a plan B. Thankfully, the new laptop cases will eventually allow TSA to focus on the issues which truly threaten us, like people with shampoo and toothpaste. Okay, sarcasm mode off. Systems to combat ice on aircraft have been around for decades, but turning it on when it's not really needed is wasteful, and turning it on too late can be deadly. Now, an Australian company has been issued a U.S. patent for technology which detects the formation of ice on aircraft. Swan International is based at Bankstown Airport in Sydney. The company's IceEye utilizes optical technologies originally developed for detecting wind shear. The company found the optical polarization response of ice differs significantly to that of water or other substances that may also be on the surface. A high-sensitivity sensor works in conjunction with a small, illuminated, ice-collecting window fixed in a sensor housing flush-mounted on the tip of a heated sensor tube. The resulting backscattered light from the ice-collecting surface is collected using polarization-sensitive optical fibers. The detected light intensity for each fiber, together with the intensity ratio, indicates the presence of ice on the ice-collecting surface. The SWAN sensor can alert the pilot to the presence and severity of icing, or be used to automatically activate the de-icing system itself. The company says it is suitable for use on a wide range of aircraft. Boeing announced this week it successfully flew the A-160T Hummingbird unmanned rotorcraft for 18.7 hours, May 14th into May 15th. That's good enough to claim an unofficial world endurance record for unmanned aerial vehicles weighing between 500 and 2,500 kilograms. Jim Martin, Boeing Advanced Systems A-160T program manager, says customers are excited by the news. Quote, "This 18-hour endurance flight is the culmination of thousands of hours of systems, ground, and flight testing. The aircraft performed flawlessly, flying unrefueled longer than any other current unmanned rotorcraft," unquote. During the flight at the U.S. Army's Yuma Proving Ground in southwestern Arizona, the turbine-powered aircraft carried a 300-pound internal payload at altitudes up to 15,000 feet, landing with better than 90 minutes of fuel in reserve. Boeing says the A-160T's large internal bays can accommodate multiple sensor payloads, allowing it to simultaneously perform persistent intelligence, reconnaissance, surveillance, and target acquisition, communications relay, direct attack, and other missions all in the same sortie. An externally mounted payload module can deliver heavy supplies or recover high-value assets with great precision. The endurance record makes for a nice bounce back by Boeing from the loss of one of the test aircraft near Victorville, California last December. Finally, if you're among those aviation old schoolers having a hard time embracing carbon fiber, you may find this next bit of news even more difficult. The Press Association reports aerospace engineers at Bristol University in England are working on a self-healing composite aircraft, which can fix its own damage even during a flight. And they predict the system could be in use on commercial aircraft within 4 years. In the new materials, if fibers break, the resin and hardener within them ooze out, enabling the composite to recover up to 90% of its original strength, allowing the plane to continue flying with its normal operational load. Future systems could actually mimic the human body by circulating the fiber-healing agent in a liquid pumped throughout the plane in an integrated vascular system. Dr. Ian Bond, who is leading the project, said, quote, "This approach can deal with small-scale damage that's not obvious to the naked eye, but which might lead to serious failures in structural integrity if it escapes attention. It is intended to complement, rather than replace, conventional inspection and maintenance routines," unquote. Or, translating, if you make a gear-up landing, I'm afraid you're still on your own. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. This coming week is last call for applicants to work with Aero News Network as stringers at EAA AirVenture Oshkosh. ANN Managing Editor Rob Finfrock will tell you what you need to know and do. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. Our audio AeroCasts are going to have the day off on Monday for the Memorial Day holiday in the U.S. Catch all the latest news in text form on the website, and we'll see you again on Tuesday. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.